I'm sitting in my van in Dublin, and it's rainy. It's a very rainy day. I really like sunshine, and these kind of grey, slaty, heavy skies, I find them very oppressive. And I think a lot of people do, and like they've, you know, it's a syndrome, sad, seasonally affected depression syndrome. I think it's a syndrome. And then you can get happy lights. And then I did hear that, and I used to do this, but I stopped. And that's if you get a torch and you shine it, you know, just here. Yes, I look like a dickhead. You just shine the torch into your. I mean, you know, your third eye, but it's probably more to do with your pineal gland, which is, you know, sort of, if you kept going there and there, you'd get into your pineal gland. It's sort of, if you, your temples here, your pineal gland sits in a cup in your sphenoid bone. Sphenoid bone's like a butterfly. If you Google sphenoid, it's spelled S-P-H-E-N-O-I-D. Sphenoid, it looks like a butterfly. It's very beautiful. It's a very beautiful bone to see in isolation. And it's, you kind of look at it and go, yeah, wow, that looks like, it actually looks more like a moth than a butterfly. And it's weird because it's not like your femur or your, you know, like your finger bone or your, you know, any of those kind of bones where the shape of the bone is obvious. The only way you can see your sphenoid bone is if you remove all the sutures and, you know, and all the bones in your skull are, it's called interdigitation, they're all locked together with cartilage between them. And if you take the bones of your skull apart, which you can do, I think there's 32 bones altogether, that's the only way you can see your sphenoid. So it's not like it's just, as I say, like your femur, it's just there all the time. You can only see it if you have to, you know, it's like take the jigsaw puzzle of your skull apart, and then right at the center of it, you've got this bone, your sphenoid bone. One of the guys who came up with, or didn't come up with, whatever the word is, like originators of craniosacral therapy, was an osteopath called William Sutherland, and he was mad about the sphenoid. In fact, there's a story about, you know, when he saw the sphenoid, in an anatomy museum or whatever, he was struck that it was like gills or something like that. Something to do with the way it was shaped. He thought gills and breathing, and the skull must breathe, and then he started to put his hands on people's heads more and listen out for he called it more tides. And then another guy came after him, Upledger, got more into rhythms and calling it craniosacral rhythm and trying to measure it and so on and so forth. The point is that you've got this beautiful bone, like a moth, and then your pineal gland sits into a cup that's kind of at the back of it. And the anatomical name for this cup is called the sella terrestre, which, when you translate that back from Latin, is roughly Turkish saddle. And that's, I like that image of your pituitary sitting in this saddle, like riding this moth-like bone in your head. Because your pituitary gland, you know, if you hear about it, it's like a big deal, but it's only this tiny little, it's only like the size of a pea. It's pretty small, yet it's pretty, it affects everything in your body. It's a very big gland. It's actually made up of two parts, front, back, and a part, back, front part, and a back part. But anyway, energetically, yeah, your third eye, but your third eye and your pituitary, I kind of see them as very similar. But then I see all physical representations in your body, like all the anatomical structures are just physical representations of energetic structures or internal structures, because the difference between outside and inside, and when I say outside, I mean, like, outside is what I'm looking at now. I'm looking at the rain, flashing rain on the Liffey. And that's the outside. When I close my eyes, then that's the inside. It's very easy to kind of feel like, actually, they're one and the same, but they're not, of course, because the inside, when I close my eyes, and I haven't got any visual sense anymore. Well, a little bit, I can still sort of see, kind of, or not can see, but I can get a sense of the lights. And even if I kind of look up with my eyes closed, I still see shapes and whatever. So my eyeballs are still working. It's different from when you go back, I go back further and further. Because for me, inside and outside, the difference between inside and outside is huge. Like, I don't believe the outside I don't believe in anything really, but meaning, I don't mean radical here, but like belief, I don't get the whole idea of belief, because to believe in something, I can't experience it, and if I can't experience it, then it's just like it's a thought or it's an imagination thing, you know, which is good. I'm sure, like, you know, skeptical, sort of scientific kind of people would think, oh, that's very good, no beliefs, that's good. But then, like, on the one hand, I don't believe in, well, reincarnation, for example. Well, that's not true. I don't believe in life after death, it's probably a better way to say it. Mainly because I haven't experienced life after death. So I can't know. I mean, who knows? I don't know whether I'm, you know, what happens after I die, because I've never died. Not that I can remember, anyway. I've had all sorts of strange dreams, for sure. Like, other people tell me they've had strange dreams too, and I've had, you know, past life regression, and I've been told I've had fantastic past lives, and I certainly have things that resonate, and I remember things, but, you know, I remember things from my childhood as well, and I could say, you know, one is as believable or as real as the other. So I can't, because it's all in the past. I can't, in a way, I like, as soon as something happens, like when I park the van here, that's gone now. So it's a memory. So it's a different thing to what I'm experiencing right now. So, you know, and then it's like the future. So the future and the past, you know, it doesn't really. It's a different thing. It's more on the inside. It's sort of catalogued in there on the inside. So I close my eyes, I can think about the van, parking the van. Yeah, I can remember that, but that's not now. Not to get all Eckhart Tolle about it, but, you know. A bit distracted there with the no and now and everything. So I don't believe in much. I don't believe in anything, really. But then I know lots of things. So I don't believe in, like, life after death, for example, because I don't know. I'd like to. I think it would be great in some ways. But then every night I kind of die anyway. So I don't see what the big... One way I don't see what the big thing is, but then I think the difference between, like, every night I go to sleep, and I love going to sleep, and other people tell me they love going to sleep as well. Love going to sleep, go to bed, oh, I'm so tired, I want to go to sleep, go to bed, close my eyes, and, you know, dream for a bit, but then there's a point where I don't dream, and I just disappear, just gone. And I'm gone for a good while, you know, because, like, when they do all those studies and stuff, the REM sleep, the dream sleep, it only lasts for an hour and a half at the most, and then you have another hour and a half as you're coming out of it. But there's a bit in the middle. There's a bit right in the middle of the sleeping where I'm just gone. I'm just completely gone. And I think, like, even if that's what death was, like, if I, you know, just went and whatever, never came back, I don't think that would be so bad. The hard thing about dying is knowing you're going to die, I think it's the knowing bit, that's the torturous bit. Like, even if it's a couple of seconds, but then you don't know, but like, say you're in a car accident or you see a car coming towards you, like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. I mean, loads of people who don't die say, oh, I thought I was gonna die, so you don't know. But like, let's say you've got some terminal illness, or I think if you are terminally ill, you probably have a sense of it. But then there's a lot of people who have a very serious illness and they get better, you know. So, but anyway, I think the idea of dying is much harder than probably dying. If dying is just dying, you know, like the same as when you go to sleep and you just don't wake up. But if you went to sleep and you didn't wake up, I don't think that would be so bad. I don't think it would bother you. It's hard for the people who are left. I had a couple of family members die this year, and Jesus, like an emotional bomb goes off when somebody dies. It's so hard, it's so tragic, and it's so difficult for the people who are attached to the person, and the missing is so painful. So how did I get on to death? I don't know how I got on to death. I was talking about the outside and the inside. And I was talking about the pituitary gland and the weather and the shining... Yes, I know, I don't think I did. Shining the torch in here. So, I mean, light waves are very energetic things. Light is a very energetic thing. So, it's probably a bit of both. It's probably a bit of third eye and a bit of pituitary gland. I had a break there. I had to go and pick up Mrs. D, my wife Maggie. And it stopped raining now. And I was able to, I remembered to take some video of what I'm looking at out the window this time. I didn't do the last time, but it would have been good. So you could see the rain. So I was saying that the shining the light thing into my third eye pituitary gland area is supposed to alleviate the effects of SAD, the syndrome where you get depressed when the weather is not great. And didn't really find it worked, but then I didn't do it continuously, and I didn't, I wasn't that depressed. I think I was about as depressed as anybody is when the kind of, you have 7 or 8 days of rain in a row. Can see it in Ireland very clearly. When the weather goes down, everyone's energy goes down. Everybody gets kind of, they don't even get grumpy, they just kind of get just down. It's, and then when the sun comes out, it is literally like the sun coming out. Everyone is smiling and happy. It's great. So the thing about the pituitary gland and the inside and outside, I'm not sure if that was clear and believing. Oh yeah, when I was talking about beliefs, that's right. There was the thing about when I was saying about not believing in things and how that's probably a good thing. But then I don't believe in Iceland, for example. I've never been to Iceland. I've never experienced Iceland. So I don't believe in Iceland in the same way as I don't believe in life after death. Like, all the evidence suggests that Iceland exists. I'm sure, yeah, and if you're watching this in Iceland, you know, don't take it personally. But I've never been to Iceland. I've never experienced Iceland. But then, I'm not so sure that travel, like airline travel, is real either. Because my experience of airline travel is I get into this room, it's a long tube, and I look out the window. But the window could be a TV screen. I don't really know I go anywhere. I look down and, you know, it looks like I'm going somewhere. I'm not sure, but, you know, if I fell out of it, it looks like I would fall to my death. But I don't know that. All my experience is just sitting in this, you know, uncomfortable seat for a period of time, and there's noise and it goes up and down. But I've been in fairground rides, you know, where they simulators, you know, and it's the same thing. There's not much difference. So, I mean, I'm not being silly about it, but it's just that thing of assuming, like, there's a lot of assumptions going on. That's like the one of the books I'm working on at the moment is called The Little Book of Big Assumptions. I've been working on this book for years, trying to just refine it down to very simple things. But there's lots of assumptions that go on all the time. Well, I don't make them, but other people do. Like, Iceland exists. If you've never been to Iceland, you never... Like, for me, America exists because I've been to America, but not all of America. I've just been to, like, Boston and New York and Atlanta and, you know, a few other places. But so they all exist. They're in my experience. I was there, actually, you know. So for me, I don't have to believe in them. They're there. I was there. Maybe they've gone. I mean, you know, you could say... I could say, and I think it's right, to, you know, like, that... Maybe my house doesn't exist anymore. I was there when I left this morning, but I don't know for definite that it's still there. Now, you could say, well, go nuts if you thought like that all the time, but it's not so much that. I was only thinking about this the other day, about talking about that kind of stuff is a bit like standing up in a cinema and going, it's not real, it's not real, it's just all shadows on the wall, it's just, you know, that's not really happening. That would kind of ruin the cinema-going experience, and nobody likes that. Nobody would kind of go, oh, I love the way that guy stood up and said, oh, isn't it, you know, it's not real. Of course it's not real. I know it's not real. And that's fine. But as I look around, I see people. It'd be like being in a cinema. Like, for me, looking at people in, you know, the world and that I come into contact with, it's like they're in a cinema and they're... Like, they're getting really upset about the story. You know, like when you're a kid and you know, like Bambi's kind of... You hear a lot of people talking about that. It's the first time they're watching Bambi. And then Bambi's mother gets killed. And, you know, if you've never seen Bambi, I'm sorry if I've ruined it for you. But Bambi's mother gets killed. And everyone is like... You know, I remember as a kid when Bambi's mother got killed, I was so upset. And my parents had to take me aside and go, it's not real. It's just a movie. Well, it's kind of like that, you know. People are... you know, getting very upset about stuff. So I think in that regard, it's worth saying how it's not real. Well, it's not real for me. I don't know about you. Let's see, because I don't even know if you exist. I don't even know if any of this exists. I'm just in my little space here, possibly talking to myself. Because I only live in this body. I only know this. I don't know about other people. Other people tell me it's the same for them. They say, oh yeah, it's the same. I, you know. But I don't know that. All I know is this. I know I only wake up in this body. I only become conscious in this body. So I only know about this. And this is, from this point of view, it's like I'm enjoying the movie of my life. And I'm not trivializing it. I don't take it lightly. But, because I think real things happen. In the same way as you can look at a movie... And you can be moved. I can be moved. I can start crying and I can start laughing and I can go be inspired and go, you know, yes, that resonates with me. I'm going to change my life a bit, or I'm going to, or not, or just laugh my head off and just, you know, I go into a movie one way and I come out of it a different way. I might go in feeling a bit down, I come out feeling great, or I might go in feeling great and come out. So things happen, real things happen, because... To me, like, what's real is what goes on inside me. Because everything, you know, I only... Like, it's the only place I experience things is inside me. I don't love people out there. I don't get upset 10 feet away from me. It all happens inside me. So this is where it's real. It's where I miss people. It's where I'm happy. It's where I'm sad. All happens inside. And I don't mean anatomically inside, I don't mean anatomically in my brain, because I've never seen my brain. I've never seen all the structures. I only know about what it's like on the inside, and it's inside is where I feel everything. So that's what's real. And real things happen in life. So I'm not trivializing life. It's very serious, but it's not real. Like, this is... How could it be real when it disappears every night? Like, okay, I could say it doesn't disappear, it continues on, but I don't experience it continuing on. That doesn't happen. I don't have that experience. I'm told, oh yeah, I was looking at you sleeping. But that happens outside and it happens when I'm awake. I don't experience this this that I'm looking at right now, which is all great, very interesting, fascinating. You know, there's people who make video games who I'm sure get a sense of how difficult it is to create all this in a low battery light. I'll stop soon. People who create video games would appreciate how difficult it is to create a world, to create a reality. All the detail. And it's so fascinating. Everything that goes on in life is so fascinating. But I kind of balance that against that it's not real. It's not as real as what goes on inside here. Inside me. And maybe it's the same for you. I don't know. But as I say, I don't know if you exist. No, it's not personal. I suspect from talking to people, because I think communication is one of the real things that does happen in the world. It's possibly the point of the world. I'm not sure about that though. From talking to people, they say the same. It's the same for them. Everyone is like, in a way, the star of their own show, their own movie. They're in this movie of point of view. Everything is point of view. From their point of view. So everyone says it's the same, but I don't know that. I just know about me. For me, point of view. I'm recording this on my iPhone, and I can see my face in the viewfinder, but I can't see my face. All I can see is this very familiar face that I see in the mirror every day, but I've never seen that face. Not the same way I see other people's faces. I can see other people's faces, and I know what I look like, but I've never seen my face. So in a way, that's just another assumption that, you know, I have a face. I don't know if I have a face. I kind of see my something that's like my nose. It all goes together so well. It's such a brilliant creation, existence, reality. It's so clever. Not clever, but it's so majestic, you know. No, that's not the right word either, but it's just pretty brilliant the way it all goes together. Right, I'm going to stop now because I've been, you know, talking for a while. Okay, I'll probably do this again. I'm pretty sure I'll do this again. And you're supposed to, at the end of your podcast, encourage your audience to engage with you. That all sounds a bit formulaic, but I like to hear what people think, so, you can put comments in, I suppose, or you can email me, or you can get in touch with me through the website, if you want to, or not. Okay, so, until the next time.
Some spaghetti.